The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Carl Jackson Podcast. I want to talk to you about the primaries that occurred last night across five states. And let me start off by saying this. I know that Donald Trump endorsed former Senator Perdue in Georgia. I want to explain to you why, even though Brian Kemp won and by a huge amount, Donald Trump didn't lose. Brian Kemp won. So let me explain that. This is Carl Jackson. We'll get into that in a few.
Rehabilitated and real entertaining. This is the Carl Jackson Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. Listen, glad you could join me today. Be sure to subscribe to all of my platforms, if you will, my social media. You can find me anywhere on social media, The Carl Jackson Show, anywhere podcasts are found, YouTube, Rumble, click the bell on YouTube. You can find me there. The Carl Jackson Show on all of my social media platform, except for SalemPodcastNetwork.com. You can find me there. TheCarlJacksonPodcast.com. You can find me there whenever you're looking for the audio or for the podcast in general. All right. So, guys, let me get to this issue with the primary elections. It's been a busy news day. There's so many stories out there, but I want to focus on this for the sake of this podcast. A couple of articles that I think are really good, a couple of primary races that I think are worth talking about here. But let me give you just some of the headlines right from Real Clear Politics. Obviously, there's still a recount going on. An announcement is expected Wednesday in the Pennsylvania GOP Senate race. You guys know that McCormick and Mehmet Oz, Dr. Oz, are basically neck and neck. So they're recounting those votes there. But man, Brian Kemp straight up put a smackdown on David Perdue. The numbers weren't even close. And I know a lot of people were fed up with or didn't like Brian Kemp. A lot of Trumpsters don't like Governor Brian Kemp. That did not matter at all in Georgia. And I think I understand why, and I'll try to explain that to you. I will say this just right off the bat. I just don't think that former Senator Perdue was a good candidate. He probably would have been a great governor. He was a great senator for Georgia, but his campaign just stunk. I mean, there was no pizzazz whatsoever. And I know that a lot of people will argue, Carl, that shouldn't matter. I would agree with you. But the fact of the matter is, it does. People want to believe. I know David Perdue is a fighter. I think he would have been a great governor, but he was just a horrible candidate. Brian Kemp had tons of money coming in, no doubt about it. I listened to some of Eric Erickson. You guys may be familiar with him. He lives in Georgia. He had a take on it that I thought was really good. I'll share that as well. But let me just give you some of these primary numbers. You had Herschel Walker, I mean, just dominating his primary. So it's going to be him, Herschel Walker, going up against Raphael Warnock in the general election. I'm going to make sure that I donate to Herschel Walker. I hope you will too. That's a Senate race we must win. All right. So no one even came close. Herschel Walker got 68.2% of the vote. You had Raffensperger in Georgia that won. That one surprised me because he got 52.3% of the vote. So they need 50 plus one in Georgia. So there will be no runoff. Raffensperger will remain. I believe his position is the Secretary of State or whatever. And he's the one that said there was no election fraud in Georgia. Excuse me. I'm still fighting laryngitis. We now know that's not true. President Trump was upset with him. I was upset with him. I thought that they should get rid of Raffensperger. I thought that the way he held the election stunk. Georgians saw it, another way, and that's their right to do so. I can't explain that one away. It makes no sense to me. But nonetheless, that's what the people chose. And that's You know, that's their decision that's their decision in Georgia. And then you have this race in Alabama, GOP Senate race between Mo Brooks and this lady. Oh, man, I forget her name. Britt is her Katie Britt is her last name. She won the primary, but she didn't get over 50%. So there'll have to be a runoff. I'm donating to Mo Brooks. I know that President Trump and Mo Brooks had a fallout. Mo Brooks is a solid conservative, and he always has been. I think he did something stupid that President Trump got mad at him with, but I'm not going to. The guy has a solid record, consistent conservative. I'm not throwing him under the bus for one mistake. So I love President Trump. I'm going for Mo Brooks. I hope you will, too. I will donate to him. I hope you will consider doing the same. That's a very important race. Another huge race that happened. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton easily defeated George P. Bush in the GOP primary. So people are asking, is that the end of the Bush dynasty? And listen, never say never. Never say never. But this was definitely the wrong time where you don't want a moderate or perceived moderate in the in office when you're fighting. And Ken Paxton has his issues. We'll get through them. But when you're fighting against radical leftists, that's where we are right now. So the populist brand is beating out, seems to be beating out the establishment brand for the most part. No doubt about it. 10 years ago or so, George P. Bush would have been a great candidate. But for the times that exist right now, no one wanted to take chances, even though Ken Paxton has a questionable past. But I think those are the most important races that took place. Governor Ivey of Alabama took it home pretty easily with 54.4%. You have Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who will likely be the next governor of Arkansas. She's another one that I'll be donating to. She ran unopposed, but she did a magnificent job. So she'll likely be, I hope she'll be, the next governor of Arkansas. So that'll be really cool to see her, Lord willing, in that position. All right. So let me get down to, good Lord. Here I am. There's a column that I pulled up, and I want to talk to you a little bit about what happened with the with Kemp's race. And again, I don't think the issue was Donald Trump as much as it was Brian Kemp. I want you guys to go back and recall this. Before Donald Trump started calling out Governor Kemp, Governor Kemp was doing, I thought, a really good job as governor of Georgia. A lot of people got pissed off at him because of the elections. I mean, he really ceded too much power. He and Raffensperger both ceded too much power to Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams playing the woke game, guilted the white guys into doing what she wanted to do. And really, I think damaged chances for senators or Perdue and Kelly Loeffler winning I believe they were the runoffs in 2020, the special election runoffs in 2020. I think the vote occurred in January of 2021, but neither one of them were good candidates. They probably would have been great senators. Neither one of them were good candidates. So this from The Hill, Kemp defeats Perdue in Georgia, a major blow to Trump. Now, listen, this is a left-wing rag. I mean, there's some conservatives there, but for the most part, so this isn't me talking, but I do think they get some things right. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp was projected to win his renomination for a second term on Tuesday, overcoming a primary challenge from former Senator David Perdue and, by extension, former President Trump. I don't think it had anything to do with Trump. I want you guys to go back to the lockdowns. There were a lot of things that Brian Kemp did wrong, but there were a lot of things that Brian Kemp did right. And basically, one of the things that Eric Erickson said, he lives in Georgia, and he made a great point, and that is that people know the governor. They know what he did. They live there. They live the life. And you guys may recall, he was the first governor to stand up against the lockdowns, even when Trump imposed the lockdowns. He said he said he didn't agree with it. Basically, he kept Georgia open. You guys may recall that Trump got mad at him because Trump didn't want to look bad. And listen, I love Trump, but let's be real. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp made the right call. And that call that Trump made, even though it was a hard issue for Trump, he has a soft heart there. The lefties Fauci and what's that, Birx or Birch or whatever that doctor's name was, tugged on his heart, said this thing, this Wuhan virus is coming to a town near you. We need to stop this. Trump wanted to do the right thing. He shut down the economy. But that turned out to be the Achilles heel of his presidency. Otherwise, he would have walked right into the White House and the left knew it. But they were able to get all of these systems in place to rig the election because Trump himself, unfortunately, shut the government down. And Democrats took advantage of that and they kept it. They kept the country locked down. But people can recall when Governor Kemp stood up. You know, and that, I'm sorry, that plays a huge part. So they can look at Kemp and they could say all of the troubles that we had as a result of these lockdowns, Kemp tried to save us and Donald Trump made the mistake, even though Donald Trump came out shortly thereafter and said, listen, guys, we got to open back up. Kemp never closed down. So you get, just got to keep that in mind. ABC and NBC News both called the race really early for Kemp at 8:30 p.m. Kemp, a one-time ally of former President Trump, and they were allies, stirred Trump's ire following the 2020 presidential election after he rebuffed his pleas to overturn Biden's electoral victory in Georgia. Trump vowed to campaign against Kemp, eventually persuading Perdue to enter the race for the governor in hopes of ousting him. But again, it just didn't work. And it didn't have anything to do with Trump, per se. Perdue was a horrible candidate. And you had Brian Kemp, that was the incumbent. Actually, that was Eric Erickson's argument. And they knew exactly what he would do, you know. And even though we, those of us on the outside that aren't in Georgia, are talking about, hey, Kemp did this wrong, Kemp did that wrong, the people that have to live in Georgia day to day just saw things differently. And it's really as simple as that. And again, I go back to Perdue was a horrible candidate. The column goes on to say, but despite carrying Trump's endorsement, Perdue struggled to gain traction among Georgia Republican voters. Polling in the run-up to the primary showed Kemp leading Perdue by double-digit margins. Kemp's victory on Tuesday dealt only the latest blow to Trump's endorsing power. Trump has won like 90-something percent of his endorsements. So this is the Hill talking here, all right? But they go on to say, undermine the former president's argument that he has the ability to pick winners and losers and GOP primaries, even in his post-presidency. And he does. There are a lot of, you know, state races. There's a lot of House races. There's also Senate. You look at J.D. Vance, where his endorsement is absolutely gold. To be sure, the article goes on to say there were other factors at play that benefited Kemp despite Trump's opposition to him. He won the support of a broad coalition of Republicans who largely see his first term in the governor's mansion as a success for conservative policy priorities. Throughout his 4 years as governor, Kemp has aggressively pursued a deeply conservative agenda, signing into law a 6-week abortion ban, all right, imposing new limits on early voting. So even though he really screwed up on the 2020 election, he imposed new limits on early voting and approving constitutional carry. You guys may remember when the woke Atlanta Braves didn't want to play. The MLB, Major League Baseball, said they were taking the All-Star game out of Georgia. Brian Kemp, Governor Kemp, came out and attacked them. I think a lot of people like that as well. He also approved a constitutional carry law that allows Georgians to carry firearms without a permit. So he did a lot of things that that they liked. Here are the things that Trump disliked. Perdue, meanwhile, centered his campaign on his alliance with Trump and the former president's claim that widespread voter fraud robbed him of a second term in the White House in 2020. Now, they say baseless claim, but again, that's the Hill. Also working against Perdue was his loss to Senator John Ossoff. Some people say he just gave up at the end. So now you got two liberals sitting in the Senate in what should be a red state in the state of Georgia. You know, so a lot of people blame Kemp for that. Certainly Perdue did, but I think Perdue perhaps attacked Kemp too much without telling people what he wanted to do and inspiring people behind his own message. So again, Senator John Ossoff, in a hotly contested runoff election in 2021, helped hand Democrats their current majority in the Senate. He's a good candidate. Jay Williams, a Georgia-based Republican strategist, said he wasn't a good candidate in 2020, and he didn't have a lot going for him outside of Trump's endorsement. These are what people had to say. With his renomination secured, Kemp will now face off against Stacey Abrams. And guys, I think Stacey Abrams, just in my opinion, she lost her campaign when she said that the state of Georgia, I don't care how she tried to contextualize it, I will play that soundbite over and over and over again. She's not going to lose her hardcore supporters, but people on the fence that are living a better life in Georgia, when Stacey Abrams said Georgia isn't a good state to live in, or the worst state to live in the country, that's just asinine. That's just stupid. I would be playing that over and over and over again. But essentially, I just want to reiterate, I don't think Trump lost, right? His endorsement is golden. David Perdue was a bad candidate. He could not offer a vision. And what Kemp could offer with his bully pulpit and his large spending, negative attack ads, but he also puts conservative issues. He signed conservative things into law that people wanted to see. And so they said, I'm good with that, right? Election integrity, concealed carry, pro-life. Legislation signed into law. It doesn't get much better than that for conservatives. So they decided to roll with him, and Senator Perdue simply didn't have anything to show. Great senator. Think he would have been a great governor. Didn't work out. We'll see what the future holds for him. Now, let's get on to this race. Herschel Walker, I think Herschel Walker will beat Raphael Warnock. I'm going to do all I can for sure to make that happen, even though I'm in a different state, but I can donate and put the word out on places like this platform, so on, et cetera. Now, this one is really, I think this one is really interesting. This story between Ken Paxton and the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton just blowing George P. Bush out of the water. I thought this might happen, but I wasn't sure, given all of the controversy. I'm trying to find the numbers, here, to that race. Oh, and there's another race. There's a race, the guy on near the border, Cisneros, he's a Democrat and he's running against a left-wing radical right now. I don't see it. Let me see if I can find this. He's running against a left-wing radical that's backed by AOC and the crazy communists of the Democrat Party. But the establishment, the Pelosi's, the Democratic leadership backed this guy, Cisneros, who's a more moderate guy on the border. So you can see a rift between the Democrat Party. And for whatever reason, I'm just not finding the race right now. Anyway, so that'll lose me. But nonetheless, let's get to this issue. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton defeats George P. Bush. This from the Texas Tribune. Embattled incumbent Attorney General Ken Paxton beat out Land Commissioner George P. Bush on Tuesday in the Republican primary runoff as Texas GOP voters picked a beleaguered candidate with legal and personal scandal over the last remaining Bush to serve in public office. And this is true. The decision desk called the race early for Paxton about 40 minutes after the polls closed. So that tells you that it was a wipeout. Embattled incumbent Attorney General Ken Paxton, in his victory speech, he told supporters to turn their attention to the November general election, when Republicans have to hold on to statewide offices and win back Congress to, quote, defeat the Biden administration. He also went on to say, we have to sweep and we have to control these elections because going forward, I promise you this, it is Texas that's going to decide the future, Paxton said. When they write the history books about this period of time, I believe they're going to write about Texas, and they're going to talk about how Texas stood strong, let the rest of the country fought back the Biden administration, save the Constitution, save the country, close quote. In a statement acknowledging his defeat, here's what Bush had to say. He said he will continue fighting for the rule of law in Texas, but things didn't go as we planned, close quote. But he says, I trust and pray in Governor Abbott's ability to control the southern border and work to ensure the system of justice and respect for Texas laws are honored and maintained, close quote. Paxton has faced a securities fraud indictment for 7 years now. More recently, the FBI began investigating him for abuse of office after 8 of his former top deputies accused him of bribery. He also reportedly had an extramarital affair. Paxton denies all of this wrongdoing. I just don't know what's true. We also know that there's a deep state So this may be true, right? This may be true. Sadly, our institutions, there's strong distrust for our institutions. We just don't know if we can trust the FBI. I don't trust the FBI right now. So this all may be true. But anyway, Ken Paxton, people in Texas, they want a fighter. They believe Ken Paxton is a fighter. Bush served 7 years as the state's land commissioner. He campaigned on restoring integrity to the attorney general's office and hit Paxton for his legal and ethical troubles. He also criticized Paxton's legal acumen, saying some of his lawsuits were frivolous, including one that he filed to overturn the 2020 results in 4 battleground states where former President Donald Trump lost. Now, that was a stupid thing to say because a lot of people at the time said that was a genius way to go about it. It just didn't happen. Supreme Court didn't take it up. But none of Bush's attacks gained any traction with the socially conservative voters in the runoff who said they prefer Paxton's combative style to Bush's more civil and polished approach. Voters cited Paxton's frequent lawsuits against the Biden administration on immigration and COVID-19 policies, as well as his efforts on hot button social issues like abortion and LGBTQ rights. While Bush had supporters who embraced his vision of a more diverse Republican Party that welcomed people of different viewpoints, a majority of voters tied him to his family's center right pro business politics. And with these corporations going woke, people are concerned about that. So the approach is not conservative enough for today's Texas GOP, according to the column, which has largely turned against establishment candidates. His opponents rallied around a call to, quote, end the Bush dynasty, close quote. And they lambasted Bush for his rightward shift during the campaign. So many people were saying, listen, George P. Bush, he's a moderate. This guy didn't start acting like a conservative till election season. And when you see that, you know that you can't trust the candidate, right? I'm sorry. It's just the truth of the matter. Right now, we need people that are going to lay it on the line so we can hold them accountable when they don't do what they say they're going to do. So in the lead up to the runoff, Bush said he supported state investigations into families that provided gender affirming health care to transgender children. And he made border security a priority issue, but it was too little too late. So Paxton hit him for his change of tone. Resurfacing 2014 comments from Bush in which he expressed support for the Texas Dream Act, a 2001 law that allows undocumented immigrants to receive in-state tuition at public universities. And I'm sorry, you can't move people ahead of the line. I know that his father, Jeb Bush, and George Bush, they were both for this Dream Act. They were both for, immigration amnesty, if you will. That's just not going to bode well if you think those are that's his family. So you would think he would be heavily influenced by his family. So he now says he supports the Republican Party of Texas's platform to repeal the law. So this is too little too late. Obviously, the race was also noteworthy for its negative campaigning. Paxton's camp created an attack website titled GeorgePBushFacts.com that denounced him as a rhino. And that sold out Texas and hit him for his office management of Hurricane Harvey relief funds and his handling of the redevelopment of the Alamo. Bush hit him back, hit Paxton back with KenTheCrook.com. And I'm sorry, I'm sorry, it's funny, but I don't think it'll work. And he said Bush did. It's time to fire Ken Paxton, close quote, and detail several legal and ethical issues, the ones that I just mentioned that plagued Paxton, including the FBI investigation, securities fraud, and the reported extramarital affair. But the attacks didn't stick on to Paxton, who continued campaigning with socially conservative groups. So Bush had challenged Paxton to 5 debates. Paxton didn't take him up on the offer. I didn't see that there was a need to. He just kept doing his thing, and it worked. Things got worse for Bush as a slew of GOP office holders, including Dan Patrick, released their endorsements of Paxton. Bush had been fighting an uphill battle since last year. Once Trump rebuffed, remember, George P. Bush went after Trump's endorsement. Trump said no. And then Paxton got that endorsement. And Paxton never took his foot off the pedal. All right. So he ended up winning, obviously. So he frequently went on cable news shows to attack the Biden administration's policies. That's what the people want to see right now. They feel threatened by Biden and the Democrat Party and their policies. They believe that Paxton is a fighter. They believe that George P. Bush will compromise with them. And we can't compromise with Marxists. I'm sorry. There is no compromising with Marxists. Obviously, they both commented on the tragedy at Uvalde, obviously that's a big story of the night, and I believe they both handled that well, both George P. Bush and Kim and Attorney General Ken Paxton. But again, Texas people, they want a fighter. They see these Marxists that are running the Democrat Party, and they just believe that Ken Paxton was going to be the better fighter than George P. Bush. And is the dynasty over? Listen, again, I never say never. You had George H.W. Bush, his father before him, that served in, I believe, state senate. I forget in which state, George W. Bush, Jeb Bush. But right now, this isn't the time for Bushes. So things didn't pan out well. So I just wanted to give you guys an update on the primaries. Again, please subscribe to my social media sites or follow me on social media, The Carl Jackson Show, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you name it. Subscribe to my podcast everywhere podcasts are found. The Carl Jackson Podcast, YouTube, Rumble, everywhere they're found. Or The Carl Jackson Show if you can't find me at The Carl Jackson Podcast. But you'll find me on one of those places. You could also go to SalemPodcastNetwork.com or just go straight to TheCarlJacksonPodcast.com. Guys, until next time, don't grow weary doing good. God bless.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.